a good thing to do. So let's do like the man said, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of having your word. We want to ask, please, that you breathe your life into it, that as I speak and as we listen and we think, that you, please, would speak into our hearts. You'd draw us to yourself some more. You'd show us some more of your wonder and show us some more about your love for us and how to respond to that love, we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to start with a not very obvious question from that passage, and it's this. If a good friend were to ask you, what must I do to keep you as my good friend? I wonder what you'd think and say. You're looking very thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful. Now, I'm guessing probably you'd say something like this. First of all, there is no good thing you can do that will earn my friendship. I'm sure you were thinking that, weren't you? Wouldn't you be just a bit put out if a good friend of yours says, what have I got to do to retain your friendship? Wouldn't you think there was something a bit wrong? They kind of hadn't quite got a hold of the concept of friendship, wouldn't you think? But I think they might follow on by saying, but if our friendship is real, then good things will flow from it. So there's nothing you can do that will earn my friendship. But if that friendship is real, then good things will flow from it. So just park that thought and let's return to the passage. Because what happened in this passage, and right at the beginning of what Saoirse read to us, is that the Pharisees who are on the right as you're looking, noticed that Jesus' disciples were doing some naughty things. They were not eating the right foods, and they were not ceremonially washing their hands before they ate. And so they said to Jesus, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, just in case you're confused, they're not talking about hygiene here. I mean, it's a good idea to wash your hands before you eat for hygiene reasons, although bacteria hadn't been invented yet. Well, at least discovered, I should say. But this was ceremonial cleansing. This was some kind of working out of the law that the Pharisees had come up to. So what's all this about? Well, we need just to spend a little moment thinking about the Pharisees, who were a bunch of people in the Jewish community, Jewish leaders, and they had addressed the question, what do I have to do to please God, by codifying the Old Testament so that there were literally thousands of do's and don'ts. So Jesus famously, in Luke, had somebody summarize the law, that's to say the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, by saying that it amounted to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the problem with that is that it says everything and it says nothing, doesn't it? So how do I love my neighbor then? So what does that mean that I should do and I shouldn't do? So somebody is walking down the street with their ox cart and one of the wheels falls off. Am I supposed to help them? Answer, yes, but footnote, provided it's not the Sabbath. Because you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. Further footnote, but you can if it's life-threatening. So it's fallen such that it's on somebody's leg and they're going to die if you wait till it's not Sabbath. Do you see what I mean? So they had thousands, literally thousands of rules about what you should and shouldn't do. But the problem was that it was all about ticking boxes and not serving God from a changed and changing thankful heart. Because even if you kept all the rules perfectly, your heart might be still far from God. You might do all the right things, tick all the boxes, but you could be a million miles from God as far as your heart was concerned. So this is a bit like the question I asked you earlier. You know, if your friend said, what have I got to do to secure your friendship? Which boxes have I got to tick? You know, what that might... How about if I set aside, should we say, 2 evenings a month or 2 to 3? Would that do it? And supposing I text you twice a day, and every time I see you, I think of something nice and encouraging to say to you. Would that do it? Would that cut it? It would be absurd, wouldn't it? It would be ridiculous. There would be a fundamental misunderstanding of what friendship is. And yet that's what these guys had done with the business of loving God and serving God. They had taken something that was supposed to be from the heart, and they'd turned it into literally thousands. I mean, there are books this thick where they gather. At this stage, it was an oral tradition, wasn't written down. But a couple of hundred years after Jesus was around, this was compiled into an almighty tome. So that just about anything that might possibly come along in life, you would know what to do. And of course, the great thing about that is you know precisely whether you've done it or not. And also, I know whether you've done it or not. And you. So it was actually a great source of judging people because it's very outward and obvious. We've got no idea where your heart is, but you've ticked the boxes. Do you see that? See the contrast that's being struck here. So Jesus replied by saying, listen and understand. Here he is. What goes into someone's mouth doesn't defile them, but what comes out of their mouth. And everybody, I'm sure, stood around looking very wise. And then just a few verses later, the disciples said, what? Actually, Matthew is a bit more polite than that. He says it's Peter who later said, Jesus, can you explain this parable to us? But I bet you they said, what? I bet that's what it... What do you mean by this? What's all this about food then? And Jesus said this, are you so dull? I find it's very encouraging, isn't it? The disciples were right there with Jesus and heard it directly from him and they still didn't understand. Doesn't that make you feel a bit better? That we don't quite get it first time around sometimes. So he said to them, are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So what Jesus is saying is, you're looking at externals, but God looks at the heart. Not ticking boxes, but what is in your heart. So we might summarize that by saying this. We can't earn God's love by doing the right things, ticking boxes. But what we do does delight or sadden him. What does delight or sadden him is what flows out of our heart. And that's what Jesus listed here. He listed the bad things, but there are good things that come out of hearts as well. So we can't earn God's love, but if our hearts are for him, then out of that heart flows good things, is what Jesus is saying here. So how may we try to earn God's love? Because although this passage is about food in one sense, it's not really about food. Jesus only talked about the food laws because that's what the Pharisees had raised. So he responded in like form. So food in, or good or bad things out of the mouth. But what Jesus was really focusing on here is heart rather than externals. And our tendency to understand loving God as doing the things that will tick the boxes, that will keep him on side. So I ask myself, how may we try today to earn God's love? Because we're by and large not terribly troubled about food laws, are we? And ceremonial washing of hands. Have you ceremonially washed your hands today at all? It's not a big issue, is it? So what do we do? And I came up with a bit of a list. So here's one. Going to church would be one. Ways that we might try to earn God's love. Giving to church funds or charities. Reading our Bibles or praying. Giving something up for Lent. Now there's a topical one. Wearing the right clothes in church. I can see that you lot are deeply troubled about that. But there are some people who genuinely, out of their respect for God, will come to church dressed very smartly. And that's just fine, provided they understand that God would love them just as much if they had jeans and a baggy sweater. And maybe more to the point, that he loves just as much those other people for whom jeans and a baggy sweater is par for the course. Do you see the difference between doing that out of respect and love for God and doing it to earn his favour? And this is precisely the difference that Jesus is lining up here, saying you can't earn it. What God is interested in is a heart that overflows with gratitude. Keeping traditions is another one. And maybe you could put some other things on the list. I don't know what ways you may, perhaps sometimes without realizing it, seek to win God's favour, to earn his approval, to tick the boxes, get brownie points. Get him in a position so that he's got to bless you. My experience is that we actually quite commonly fall into doing that one way, shape or form. Now it's important to notice that these may be genuine expressions of our love for God, but doing them won't earn us God's love. So to be sure, it's good to come to church. I hope you haven't heard me say don't come to church in the first item on my list here. That's not the point. The point is, don't come to church to try to earn God's favour. You already have it. If you know and love the Lord Jesus and you've received forgiveness of God through him, you already have it. You don't need to earn it. They may be genuine expressions of God's love, but doing them won't earn God's love. So what should we do, brothers and sisters? I'm going to suggest three things that you think of to close. So here's the first one, which is give up trying to earn God's love if that's what you tend to try to do. I don't know how good you are at self-diagnosis. I'm guessing you probably know quite well the ways that you're in danger of falling into scoring points. Ticking the boxes. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus back along, he wrote this to the Christians there, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And you see, I've underlined the four bits where he says the same thing. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. If you were properly birthed when you became a Christian, you'll have been told that salvation is by grace through faith. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do that will earn salvation. It's the free gift of God. Access through faith in Jesus. In fact, somebody rather neatly has said, well, grace, that's an acronym for God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a pretty good summary of the theology of grace. It's God's undeserved favour. So my first challenge to you is to say, do you tend to try to earn God's favour? Then give it up. And by the way, it's something that we can fall into when we're already Christians as well. The whole of the first letter that Paul ever wrote, which is to the Galatian church, was exactly on this point. The church in Galatia, who were good Christians in the sense that they understood salvation by grace, but now they had fallen into works. They had come to salvation as God's undeserved favour, and now they were working to please him. And in particular in this passage, actually quite a lot of Galatians is about this, but he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. There it is. And are turning to a different gospel. And if you read a bit broader in that passage, what he's talking about is earning God's favour. So he's saying, whoa, you were birthed properly. How have you fallen into thinking that you've got to tick the boxes with God? You've got to stay on side with him. You've got to perform. I wonder if you might be a tendency to fall into that. So there's the first thing. The second thing I suggest is this, and it is to cultivate a thankful heart toward God. What the first passage we started with was Jesus saying that what matters is your heart. And God wants to change that heart. Ezekiel famously said, or God said through Ezekiel, that he's going to change our heart of stone into a heart of flesh that is on life, is alive with love for God. And so we need to cultivate a heart that is focused on Father God and is in process of being transformed. There's one passage here, but I could have written lots of others. This is from Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And one of the great ways of doing that, of course, is what we're doing right now. I don't know if you noticed the songs that Matt chose were pretty much smack in the middle of what I've just said there, of focusing on Father God and touching our hearts with his and looking to be transformed, because that's the transformation out of which flows what matters. And then the last thing that I have is this, and that is, it's one of my favourite verses out of Paul's writings. Find out what pleases the Lord. He doesn't say and do it, but that's somewhat implied in Ephesians 5. Find out what pleases the Lord. And it struck me when I put those together that actually, though the first and the last of those might look to you like a contradiction. So give up trying to earn God's love and find out what pleases the Lord. Does that sound like a contradiction? And the answer is, it depends. When you're finding out what pleases the Lord, if it's in order to earn his favour, then you've missed it. And some years ago, somebody painted a word picture for me, which has always been with me, and I thought I would literally paint it. So you're going to see, you'll be the first person to see my latest art piece. So this is going to be a swallow at dusk. Here was my first attempt. Now, if you're very kind, you might be thinking I've done something terribly subtle here. No, I just didn't let the blue paint dry before I painted the black on. If we try again, it looks like this. Now, I don't think anybody would pay a lot of money for that, but I think you can see it's rather clearer than the first. What I want you to get is that the blue is God's grace, the background, and pleasing God is the black on the front. And if you haven't got the grace of God clear and fixed and dry, then your attempts to please him will cause the paint to run. And you'll be doing things to try to please him, to try to win his favour. Do you see? I think some of you are seeing this, at least. So, as I put it here, if God's grace isn't dry and firmly fixed in the background as you focus on him, then the paint will run, like you see on the left. And you know, it's very easy for us Christians to fall into that. Fall into seeking genuinely to please him, but into that seeps, well, I better get this right if I'm going to get the points. I better get this right. I can't get this wrong. This better not go wrong. Have you ever been there? So there's the three things. Give up trying to earn God's love. Cultivate a thankful heart out of which will flow loving things. And seek to please him, but not to earn his love, but to express your love in gratitude. And these three things, I've kind of listed them like that, but it's not that you spend the first 5 years getting the first one right and then you move on to the second. They kind of interrelate. Because what you find invariably, or at least what I find, is that you try to live to please God, and then you realise, actually I'm trying to prove something a bit here. And you're taken back to the first. Just to be reminded, I need to get that blue wash in and let it get it fixed and dry. In order to paint on. Is this making some kind of sense? Some of you are very good poker players. But I believe that's right. These things relate to one another. So what I want to do actually now is to pray for us. I don't know whether there's something in there that touched you. I'm just going to create a bit of space in which you can pray, I can pray for us. And I'm going to ask Matt to lead us in worship out of these thoughts to close our service. So do whatever works best for you. Put your hands in front of you, close your eyes, stand up, sit down. There's no magic posture. Let's see, just see where we get to. Father, thank you so much for your unconditional love for us. Thank you so much that we don't have to earn your favour. Thank you that, I think as one of the songs we sang earlier said, you couldn't love us more than you do. And you wouldn't love us more than you do, even if we got it all perfectly right. Lord, that's so alien to our thinking. That is so alien to the culture that we live in. That's so alien to what the world screams at us, that it's so easy to lose it. It's so easy to lose the enormity and the wonder of that. And Father, we, some of us at least, have a tendency to fall into going back to earning your favour when you've already given it to us for free. And Lord, I want to pray, if one or another who's here this evening knows that they fall into that, I want to pray that you meet with those people right now and you administer your truth. Lord, would you show us how to get out of that habit and to enjoy your unconditional love? That wonderful blue wash background that's dry and fixed and firm as a foundation for our lives. And Father, I pray for that in the... I'm quite sure that some of us have got some well-cultivated habits going back lots of years of doing this. I want to pray that you would break some things this evening. That actually where we've fallen into those bad habits, poor theology, that you would meet us in those places like you do and graciously heal and bring wholeness and show us your better way. Would you do that, Lord? Just give you a moment. If that's you, then why don't you add your own prayer, your own thoughts in there. Just tell God like it is and ask him to meet you there and move you on. And Father, what Jesus said was about how what we do and how we do it flows out of our hearts. Elsewhere in the scriptures it talks about out of the overflow of a man's heart come good things or bad things. Whatever is in there flows out. And so Father, would you show us how to be people who cultivate hearts that are increasingly soaked in you, whose hearts are increasingly of flesh and not of stone, to use Ezekiel's wonderful picture. Please, Lord, would you do that? Would you help us to be people who are worshippers in not just in Sunday when we sing songs, but who live worshipful lives, who focus on you, who are grateful, who are thankful, who remember your loving kindness, who remember your faithfulness in the past. Would you show us how to be people, Father, whose hearts are increasingly transformed into your heart? And that might come down to some very mundane things like making time to soak in your word or spend time in prayer. Lord, I pray that you show us, that you would speak to one or another as you want to right now. If that's an area that's speaking to you again, let me just give you a moment to be doing business with Father God. And Father, we pray that as our hearts are transformed, that out of them would flow good things pleasing to you. Find out what pleases the Lord, says Paul to us. I want to pray, Father, that increasingly our hearts would overflow with good things, with love and joy and peace and patience and compassion and forgiveness and mercy. Lord, may we be increasingly people out of whom flow in gratitude to you good things that please you. Not because we've got to earn it, but because it's within our hearts to love you in gratitude to serve you. May that be increasingly who and how we are, I want to pray, Father. Lord, please may your kingdom grow because we met this evening, because you have met with us, because you have touched our hearts, you've convicted us of truth, you've equipped us, you've healed and made whole and sent us on our way. Thank you so much. Amen.